It was perhaps the worst case of homesickness I had ever seen. And it started before her driver had even left the parking lot. First, there was a frown forming at the edge of her mouth, then a few cursory tears. Then it escalated rapidly. There was the screaming, the crying, the cursing, the struggling, and the odd contentment to the struggle, or the commitment to the struggle, even after it was clear that she had decided to stay. Our young charge was in a full-on rage, and her parents had just started their vehicle. I don't mean to make light, even though I hope that my then 8-year-old friend, now likely in her 20s, can look back on this and laugh. Homesickness is real. It's powerful. Trust me. But it doesn't always present with the anger that I saw on that day. And that's what's so fascinating about my young friend's experience so many years ago. What was it about being sad that made her so angry? What was it about being angry that made her so sad? She's not alone, you know. Not in homesickness, not in rage. One of my teachers, Bob Petit, his definition of rage was sadness and anger folded back in on one another. Surely there's some perturbation, something that makes one sad, something that makes one angry, but soon one is both angry and sad about being angry, angry about being sad, and it keeps piling on. Rage is often violent, but not always. It is ultimately self-destructive. And we don't like to think about it. We don't like to talk about it. Yet if you see the world the same way that I do, through the same lenses that I do, through the same media that I do, we see an increasing amount of rage. And we need not turn away. For whether in small ways or in large, rage is too often the true and authentic voice of the persecuted, of the victim, of the one injured yet unseen. God sees it, and we must look at this rage too, and wonder, what does God do with our rage? We have some examples in the text, and today's lectionary collection provides some interesting points of view on rage. Job is the most obvious. I asked my young friends at the 9 o'clock children's sermon, what do we know about Job? And they said, Job's angry. No kidding. It's the whole line on Job, isn't it? Anger of Job. Text never clearly says, but it seems that Job should probably also be sad. Lost everything. In today's text, perhaps throughout the most, or perhaps the whole, throughout the whole of Job, is the one most like rage. I think Peter has some rage issues too. There are some questions about how exactly to translate or even to read his kind of strange statement to Jesus in the middle of today's gospel lesson. Look, Lord, we have followed everything to follow you. Or we've left everything to follow you. I kind of like to hear it say, look, Lord. Maybe St. Peter is angry at Jesus. He did just say it is impossible for people to get into the kingdom of God. Maybe he's angry at the rich young ruler. And also a bit sad. And we will see more of Peter's rage, I think, before his story comes to an end. In a certain respect, I think the rich young ruler is also on the spectrum of rage. We certainly hear of his sadness. He walked away sad, grieving, it says, for he had many possessions. But his whole approach towards Jesus seems to suggest perhaps a latent anger as well. He comes up to Jesus in the model of a Pharisee. Good teacher, I have a question. Good teacher, I have something to prove. Perhaps this is a nonviolent rage. It takes so many forms. So what does God do with our rage, with our anger and our sadness? Mark makes a good suggestion in the report of Jesus' encounter with the rich young man. He looks at him and he loves him. What does God do with our rage? He loves it. Not in a simple doe-eyed affection way or an amusement about our rage or even a tolerance of it. God loves our rage in the way that Jesus loves. He takes it to the cross. That's the ultimate result of our rage, isn't it? The clearest image of human rage in the gospel. Jesus gathering it up and taking it to the cross, taking this ball of anger and sadness folded back in onto itself, and he takes it and he begins to pull it apart, to undo the knots and the tangles, not to get rid of it, no, for there is power in anger, there is power in sadness, but to reorder it, to transform it, to reshape our rage into something more holy and more powerful, and to give it back to us in a way that is more useful to his cause. For the love of Jesus can take our anger and turn it into the conviction for justice. The great plumb line set in the midst of the community by which the actions of ourselves and others are measured. Indignance for injustice and the ill treatment of the less fortunate. This is what happens to our anger in the face of the cross. Jesus can take our sadness. And as he opens his arms on his own cross, he can turn our sadness into the caring compassion for others. It is the very soul of our social engagement. Anger and sadness no longer balled together into rage, but anger and sadness turned into the very stuff of prophetic witness. A conviction for justice and caring compassion. This is the anger and sadness of the prophets. This is the anger and the sadness of Jesus. Now, we don't know what happened to our characters in today's story. We don't know what happened to the rich young ruler. I've always liked to think that he went and did divest in his riches, or of his riches, and follow Jesus, and maybe even become an advocate and a servant, but we just don't know. We just don't know what happened to Job after his life was restored. Maybe he became a voice for his community. Maybe he told the story of his difficult relationship with God. We know a little bit of the story of St. Peter. And in that, we learn that this transformation of our anger and our sadness, of our rage into the stuff of prophecy, we know that might take some time. The end of Mark 10, Peter isn't quite done with his rage. The aphorism so often associated with Job and others like him is that it is okay to be angry with God. But I think in light of today's conversation, we need to be willing to change that and to say, it is okay to rage before God. And it is okay to give God our rage, our sadness, and our anger. Are you willing to give that up and to give it to God? To allow him to love it. To allow God to crucify it, to transform it, and in doing so, to transform you from one in whom sadness and anger are impacted into one who is a prophetic witness to the world. Are you willing today to give that to God? And to walk away from the encounter loving and justice-minded, caring, serving, and standing up for others? Amen.